Okay, really appreciate that, you know. And actually, all the songs that we have sung, one, and the second we listened to, and the third one, all have to do with rejoicing. And how do we rejoice in the Lord, you know? Well, one way is to rejoice in how God's made us. God has made us in a very unique way. Regardless of what issues, what choices, whether good or bad, James is teaching us here a lesson. And, you know, the first week we looked at troubles and triumph, how to overcome those things. And as we looked in James chapter 1, in verse 2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." That means you're going to be caught off guard. You're going to count it all joy because you know the Romans 8:28, right? All things work together for those who love the Lord, who are called according to His purpose. So that's been one of my favorite verses to memorize. And as I learned, you know, this past week, we went through Wednesday night Bible study. I said, there's three things. One, you make sure it's word right when you memorize. Second of all, you do repetition over, you practice over and over and over again because you can go to bed at night, you memorize it. And third of all, that practically you can use it the right way when you're witnessing the people. And, you know, yeah, some days we can't seem like our minds are way over there and over here and over there. We pull it all together through the Spirit of God to help us. So James is saying, count on it when you run into these trials, knowing that testing your faith produces patience. So it's our endurance, which is developed over a lifetime. Some people think, well, this is just in the present tense. No, this has to go on for a lifetime, okay? Our lives, what you're doing today is going to affect you for the rest of your life. Everything that we do, we're building. We're building. Ever seen those building blocks? You know, you pull one block out, you know, and the whole thing comes crashing down. Well, that's what can happen with life's problems. One problem can come along, we just fall. So we have to make sure that we are on the solid rock of Christ. So let us have patience and let that perseverance perfect us. In other words, that makes us complete. As we looked at that too, that's where we get our word from holograph, which we're in a 3D. We're height, depth, and width. A complete person will be mature in Jesus Christ. I hope and pray this week, this summer, will be something that for ourselves. Because as obviously as you and I know, the summer can be a blessing or else, you know, you're going to have some problems this summer. But it's here. It's now. Today is now. It's what we do today, what we reap, what we sow. So we need to be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And so if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. In other words, you are clueless to what to do. And I'm tying this all into this message here because some days we need God's help. And when we ask, we have the idea of God will listen to us. But there is one condition, that we continue to listen to Him. And we don't let life's circumstances close us in and grab hold of us and take us away. You know, the problem is with when we count it all joy, sometimes we lose that joy. Sometimes we're not filled with the Spirit because what attracts us away are life's problems. And we forget what God's doing in our lives. And sometimes, all the time, right? We need to pray. And I thank God for you all and even those online who pray because you can sense the Spirit of God. Yesterday we were traveling out to Watertown and there was a huge downpour of rain, very hard, and he put the windshield wiper on as high as you can. At the same time, I can't explain it. Some people think I'm crazy. Others would be like, yeah, I got it. There was a joy and peace that came over me, And that song that we sang in Evan this Wednesday that one of the ladies here picked out, "There's Sunshine in My Soul Today." That song just came through like it was coming over the radio. It just went through my mind. I was like, how beautiful, how sweet. I was just like, and God was saying, okay, that's nice, but keep your eyes on the road. You know, don't go off the road now. Okay, because it was hard to see. But God gives us that inner peace, that wisdom. When we ask for wisdom, He gives it to us. I was praying, Lord, pray that we get through the storm. He got us through. So if we ask God, He gives it to us liberally and without reproach. In other words, He's not going to scold us. He does not scold us when we make mistakes, when we get ourselves in trouble. We reap what we sow. I got that. But at the same time, God is not going to hold back on anything that He wants to bless us with. I see these ladies coming up here this morning. I was just like, Lord, they're growing in You, you know, and God, please do Your work in their lives, you know. They're beautiful women, and they're beautiful, one, because of Christ in them. And number two, they have a wonderful families that protect them, and they're with them. And number three, they have people praying for them. They don't know, but, you know, I don't think we could get at least half of our things done in life without prayer, you know. And I could go on with more and more examples. But let him ask in faith, not doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed with the wind. In other words, your life will become very unstable, you know. We were talking about that in the book of Revelation. We were saying how, you know, God pronounced judgment on the earth. We're looking in Revelation chapter 12. And after that pronouncement, that was going into the second and third woe. It meant, you know, there's trouble on the earth. There was an earthquake. So some people need to get God's attention up there, and sometimes down here on earth, because life can be kind of shaky sometimes. But He's given us peace. He wants the mind of Christ to give us peace. But let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is a double-minded man, unstable as he did. That's where we left off last week. In other words, it's a two-souled person, where somebody says yes and no, yes and no. You know, maybe, maybe not. You know, I'm sure all of us today like to have people that are pretty secure, that can trust their word. You're as good as your word. When Jesus spoke, there was no lie in him. And that's what frustrated and angered the people at his time, because he was all truth. You know, when you speak the truth, you cannot go wrong. When you speak the truth, sometimes God has to humble us, because we know that it was the truth. What if I got to lose? You know, I might get in trouble, but it was the truth. Or I did what was right. I was a blessing. And that was the truth. So stick with the truth. Stick with the way that Jesus taught. And so, you know, if we ask for wisdom, again, you know, we ask God, we ask in faith, we ask without doubting, and God will bless us. So what I'm trying to say before I start this message here is that continue to grow where you start, you know, and remember, it's a lifelong process. You won't finish growing until the Lord takes you home. So for everybody here in this audience, however how old we are or how young we are, we're at different stages, and God is still working in us to what? To be more like Him. That's what it's all about. So in our Christian growth and our love, remember this, never, and I'll say this again, asking for wisdom, God will give it to you. I learned a long time ago. Don't ever, 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 and I had to cancel a guy a couple of weeks ago about this. Don't ever compare yourself to somebody else. Don't ever, ever do that. That's a big lie. Because you, like when you take communion this morning, you compare yourself to the cross. Okay, Lord, I got to get some things right. Yep, you're right. Got it. You're Lord. You're my love. You're my life. I got it. Okay. I want to get it right. And then you take that communion with God. And what happens later on in the week if you mess up? Because we're all sinners. Go back to the cross. So, Lord, you know, I'm going to bear that cross. I don't like it. I don't want it. But, you know, and as well as the young folks here and the older ones know, it takes, you got to work at it. You got to work at it and trust God to give you the right balance in your life, you know. So with that being said, here we go. Now, Paul is, you have James is saying here, look, you have a church. And these people he's writing to, okay, they were to the churches scattered abroad, 12 different tribes. So there were Hebrew Christians and they were all over the place. And we talked about this a few weeks ago. This is the earliest epistle written, around 45 AD. So it wasn't much longer after Christ was crucified. And you had James was saying, hey, I'm going to give you some practical application like we have today in the churches. Churches are no different back in that day. Maybe it was a different society. They didn't have cars, you know, looking at the external. But in the internal, it was always there. Nothing had changed. So as we see here, starting out, what are we rejoicing in? Or excuse me, we're supposed to be rejoicing in who we are. Rejoice in who you are, whether you're poor, whether you're rich. Remember, back in this day, there was no middle class for the most part. 90% of the people back when this epistle was written, and also in part in Christ's day, they were either rich or poor. Okay? And so looking at it today, we know. We can look out there, we can go to certain parts of town, it looks very poor. Or we can go to certain parts of town, it looks very rich. Or we can go to different parts of town, we don't know. Because there's a lot of people suffering and dealing with their financial aspects in life. And so we pray that God will continue, and he has blessed us as his people. He's given us much more, even spiritual as well as physical. Remember, Jesus preached more about the spiritual than he did about the physical. You know, we're going to reap what we sow in life. God's blessed, you know, and that's great. In little ways and big ways, we should be content with all godliness. But my goodness, you know, there are people today that are suffering, and there are people today that have things. And we need to understand that and work things out. So we rejoice in who we are. Continue to grow. Let me encourage you today. Continue to grow where you are, and God will bless you. So we're going to look at the first aspect here of being poor. So like today, like we had mentioned, it says, let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation. Now, you know, why is that? Because, you know, we are all on the same playing field, aren't we? We all know if I'm praying, I'm hoping we're all going to heaven, right? You know, this past couple of weeks, I've seen a lot of the kids go out there and play baseball, you know, and it's just wonderful. And the moms and dads come out. But what is called a playing field out there, and they all get a chance to get up there and hit the ball. And they all get a chance also, what, to play in the outfield, the infield there. And so there's that excitement. And so God wants us to be excited, and we got people who are praying for us, who are rooting for us. Some of us are on first base, second base, third base. Some people have made it home. But there's a continuing inning going on. Back in that day, low degree meant being humiliated, pressed down, lowly, poor, insignificant. You know, I'm very thankful that I can hear about missionaries being overseas and people coming to know the Lord. And, you know, I can look at them and say, there's my brother in Christ. There's my sister in Christ. There's an important reason why we should be excited for who we are, because that's how God made us, the way God wants us, the way God is going to be glorified. So the end means, the just means, is that our purpose in life is what? To glorify God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatsoever ye do, eat or drink, give to the glory of God, regardless. Okay? Should be easy enough to understand. But then also, too, in the Jewish culture, being rich was looked at, oh, and they had to, by the way, they had the prosperity gospel back in that day too, okay? So they looked at people who were well off as being blessed by God in the Jewish community at Christ's time, in James' time. But if you were poor, God was not blessing you. There's something wrong with you. That is an accusation from the devil. Nothing less than that, trying to squash you. And don't let him do that. Rejoice. Rejoice in who you are, regardless. And say, yep, I'm looking at my watch. My days are numbered. My years are numbered. God's going to take me home when he does. But by golly, I'm going to do what I can for the Lord Jesus Christ. So I pray this is what's going on. Then we see also the story of Jesus told about the rich man Lazarus. And I'm sure that that story shocked people. Because remember the rich man who, in Luke chapter 16, we're not going to turn there, but fared sumptuously. In other words, he had all the food he wanted. He also wore linen and silk and purple. And actually, there was 1 pound of purple silk would be worth 3 pounds of gold. So in other words, the man had more than enough. And he lived rightly, he thought, in his sight. But unfortunately, he wasn't being selfless. He was being very selfish. And you had the poor man at the gate. And the readers were surprised. They were like, okay, well, that person, obviously, he had problems. So that's why he is the way he is. We have to be very careful how we judge people. Very careful. Because we don't know what they've been through. And so there you have, even the dogs would come by and lick his sores. And that man was just there. It was just like, please, throw me the garbage. I'll take the garbage. You know, I can at least sustain my life with that. You know, but as time went on, you know what happened? They both died. One went to Abraham's bosom and the other one went to Hades or hell. And the rich man lifted his eyes up. You know, when we think about absent from the body, present with the Lord for believers, but for the unbeliever, it's going to be a place of darkness and where your 5 senses will be there and they will never be satisfied. That's why the gnawing and gnashing of teeth in hell, that's a place where people are angry, they're in pain, they're in total darkness, their 5 senses, you will be hungry in hell. The rich man was never named a name because you won't have a name. In heaven, praise God, we have a new name. It's amazing. It's amazing God's grace is as we try to witness to people and people are just like talking to a brother this past the other night. And the religious symbols get in between it. I'm a Lutheran. I'm a Catholic. I'm a Baptist. I'm this, that, and the other. But when it comes to Jesus, don't want to hear about it. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. And so there are even the poorest people that don't want anything to do with Jesus Christ. Because for some reason, Satan's thrown out the bait. They've grabbed it hook, line, and sinker, as you've heard for Fisher people know that story. And they've taken in the bait. So you have that going on. And so it was all a fallacy. It was all a fallacy. Religion, be careful what religion can do to you because there's a lot of fallacies. There's no facts. Facts is Jesus Christ and the Word of God only. And that settles it in my heart, and I'm going to pray for others as well. Then there are 4 pitfalls of lowly poor, and they fall into. They allow the circumstances to dull, numb, or destroy their spiritual enjoyment of life. You know, I've said this before, gambling is wrong. And gambling starts with covetousness. And covetousness is starting with, I want what somebody else has, or this looks better and nicer. Talk to anybody, you know, who will tell you that it's not worth going to this local store and buying lottery tickets. It's not worth it because in the long run, they've done a study that it makes you poorer, especially in these poorer communities. It's, you know, it looks good, but sin always looks good. And then also, number 2, they allow themselves to become bitter. Covetousness to have more. 3, they develop a sense of inferiority and inadequacy and withdraw themselves. It's kind of neat because Kim and I have worked in some poor neighborhoods down in Arkansas, and I tell you what, you know, the poor people, what they have is called a status symbol. And they'll have the nicest car, but they'll live in the poorest looking ghetto looking house you can imagine. Or they will have the nicest looking clothes, but my goodness, they are so poor. They don't have anything, but they want to feel good about themselves. For a Christian today, we have that joy, that status within ourselves. We have what we have by the grace of God. And so, you know, and then of course we need to understand too, fourthly, about one of the pitfalls for lowly and poor develops a sense of moral superiority and arrogance to those who have much more. And I have met people like that, both sides of the spectrum. You know, I'm better than you are because look at all I have. So God's been blessed me, not you. Or the other way around. You know, I don't need all that. Why do I need all that? I got what I need, and that's good enough. But what's happened, and my point is, in our culture today, that has caused a division, a big division. When you go to different parts of towns, so you find out those who have and those who have not. And so regardless of where I've been and you've all been, we pray that, you know what, regardless of what a person has on the outside, Christ is looking for what's on the inside. That's what counts when the day's over with. It doesn't matter what you have. It's what you need is Jesus. It doesn't matter what you don't have. What you need is Jesus. So in the church in that day, even today in our churches, you have the poor and you have the much better off. So then James goes on to say, from let the lowly brother glory in an exaltation. And so verse 10, but the rich in his humiliation. Now, there are those who have much, and, you know, all we have to do here is look at the rich man. The rich man in Matthew chapter 19, I'm going to turn there. The rich man was a man who confronted Christ. In Matthew chapter 19, verses 16, it says, now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? I think this is a very honest question. And he said unto him, Jesus says, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, it is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep my commandments. In other words, he was very close to the kingdom of God. You have people today that are very close, very close. And like I said last week, you have those that are on the fence. And I said sometimes they are paralyzed with fear, or sometimes they're in indecision. And when I witness the people, I pray, it's like, Lord, do your work, which you knew from the beginning. You know from the past who's going to be saved. You know in the future who's going to be saved, but we have our own choices to make. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. So there's that choice, that free will. And so when we witness, our heart agonizes, Jesus saying to this young man, oh, you're so close. Now listen to this. He said to him, why do you call me good? He says, well, you know, Jesus says, but if you want to enter into life, keep my commandments. And we all know that if you break one commandment, you break them all. And nobody in their right mind would say today, unless they're so full of themselves, oh, I've kept all the commandments. You know, that's an impossibility. Well, you break one, you break them all, right? If you've been down that road. But that's why Jesus came, and he could fulfill those commandments. And he did that. Some of you today, that's the A, B, and C's of the gospel. What are we telling other people about that? So the young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I lack? So he's saying, I'm a young Jewish man. I'm doing everything right. Remember, Christ hadn't died yet on the cross, and many Jews, like today, didn't believe in him. Because of disbelief. They didn't believe by faith, and that's how one gets saved. Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, that means to mature, to be more of a man or a woman, you know, or a woman today, or a child of God, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Now, this man had much, and he says, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, and he had great possessions. So at this point, the man's like, okay, I probably shouldn't have even asked this question. I'm very rich. I should have kept my mouth shut. And we talked about that last week, about being careful what we say. And some things are very private to us, and only between you and the Lord talk about it. Well, this man asked, and he got what he asked for. And I believe, too, and I'm sure you believe, too, that when God answers our prayers, sometimes it's not what we want to hear. Sometimes it's not what we want to hear. But we go by faith. As long as we pray, we check out his word. And there's a sea, or I would say, I shouldn't say a sea of counselors out there. There are probably very few people that we can trust today, that we can say, you know, pray for me. And we got to be very careful about that. But so this man had to sell everything he had. He had to sacrifice what he had. And the idea that he was wealthy was beyond wealthy. He had much. But it doesn't say anything more about this man. We need to pray for people to get saved. We need to pray for people, never give up on them. Because some people are like this. They're just holding on. Holding on because that's all they have in life. That's all they think that they will have for eternity. Because they're scared of the future. They're afraid to ask Jesus into their heart. They're just like, is that a commitment I really want to take? Why would I want? I want to believe by faith. Well, you got to believe in by faith first before you ask Christ into your heart, the seat of your emotions, your mind. So you have to believe in it first. And the Holy Spirit draws you to that salvation. This man wasn't ready yet. So Jesus went on to say, and his disciples were astonished by this. And Jesus looked at him and says, you know what? With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Jesus is saying, look, even for the very rich, you may have very much. And yet, you know, they think they have everything in this world. They got everything they want. Why do they need Jesus? Well, I love what the Lord says. Surely I say to you that in this generation, the Son of Man, I got caught off on the wrong verse here. But he went on to say, look, you know, it's much easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle. And that has the idea about, you know, all things possible with God. And he's saying, look, that eye of a needle is not talking about a gate in Jerusalem. It's talking about a sewing needle. He's saying with all things are impossible with man, possibly, but things are not impossible when it comes to God. God can answer prayer, can take that camel in our life, and he can fit it through that sewing needle eye. He can do the impossible. I have just been amazed over the years, amazed, you know, what God has done in people's lives. And I'm still, you know, as of last night, I was amazed again. I won't get into it, but it was just what some people can do. I'm like, wow. So rejoice in who you are. Pray for one another, okay, both for the poor and for the rich. So going back here to James. So we see here that in verse 10, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. That's interesting. Back in that time, in the geographic setting, you had the flower and the grass would grow from about May. It dies around in February in that geographical area there of the Middle East. So things sprout up and things die, you know. And there hasn't been one person I have met over the years that when they get older, who's not saved, will start thinking about their soul for eternity. Only a fool And I met a man many years ago, a very godly man, says only a fool would say to themselves at their dying moments, I don't believe there's a God, because there is a God. So for anybody who thinks, well, I need now to think about life and get serious about it. There is a man, you probably heard of him, the Vanderbilts, very successful newspaper empire. And they started back in the 1800s, and they had very much in society. I was able to go down to Asheville, North Carolina, many years ago and visit the Biltmore estate. I have never seen so much for one husband and wife, so much. It's 75 acres of gardens, you know, down there. There was so much. It was so beautiful. We went down, I think, in May, many years ago, just to check this out. The house was huge. It was tremendous. This is 1895. They had everything. They had everything. I remember walking out in these grand porches, and I'm sure if any of us have been to churches in Europe, they were built. Why? Because it was a picture of heaven. You go into those gaudy grandeur chapels that the Catholic Church would build. It would be there for a, you know, look at heaven. This is what heaven's going to be like. It's just beautiful. But going into that house was just amazing. How much more Jesus is saying, let not your heart be troubled. Whether you're rich or poor, you know, remember, I have gone to what? Prepare a place for you. There is something better. When we pass and go on, we pass everything else on to our loved ones and those that we care about and those that we love. But Jesus has a place in heaven, especially for us. It's going to be wonderful. And yes, we will recognize one another. And yes, we will have new names. And yes, we'll have new bodies. We'll have glorified bodies. And we will be able to recognize one another. We looked at that in John, the end of the Gospel of John a few weeks ago. The disciples saw what? Jesus on the shore. There he was. He was already making a meal for them after they hadn't caught anything. And he says, children, come on over here. Let me help you. And that's how God helps us. I want to come to God today as a little child. I want to come to him and say, Abba, I need you. I need your help. I don't know what's going on, but you do. I got a lot of plans, whether we are rich or poor. God does not never, and he has never, and don't forget this, God never chooses who's better than the other. He never plays favorites with nobody, okay? So the next time somebody comes up to us and says, hey, I think I'm better than you are, just smile at them, say, I love you too. I know how great and powerful God's made me, and nobody's going to be able to touch me. And yet that's the problem the disciples had. Remember that? When one of the disciples' mothers came up to Jesus and said, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? And they were all looking at each other, the disciples were, and Jesus says, hey, what are you worried about that for? Look, you're going to be sitting on thrones and judging Israel, and how much more? And Paul says to us today in Corinthians, after he was raptured, he was taken up into the first heaven, he saw things that he could not even explain. But he says, how much more, he says in that chapter, that you and I today are going to be judging angels. We're going to be judging angels. Now, that's out of our realm totally. But God has something, and I'm telling you, something to get excited about, what's going to happen in the future. Something wonderful down the road. You know, this life is like a vapor. I tell you what, we grab everything we can for what? For the glory of God. So moving on here, so we see here in verse 11, it says, for no sooner the sun is risen in the burning heat that it withers in the grass, its flower falls, and a beautiful appearance perishes. So is the rich man that will fade away in his pursuits. So think about it. We have a blessing here coming up for those, all of us here today that know Jesus Christ as our Savior. We looked at the poor and the rich. And, you know, when we look at verse 12, it says, blessed. In other words, that idea is that someone who has that spiritual joy, that satisfaction. Remember earlier in James, count it all joy. Well, my joy is this too. I know that I'm going to have what? Who endures temptation. That means you're pushed through the trials. I use this illustration at our 50th anniversary. And I said, I remember when I went to my sensei many years ago, and I was trying to get a black belt, and I could never get a black belt, because every time I tried to go for my black belt, God said, no, you are going into ministry. I remember my sensei said to me, and I asked him, I said, there's a block of wood right here. I said, what makes you think in your mind that your fist can penetrate that block of wood? What kind of motion, what kind of strength do you have? He says, you think you will go through it. You will go through it. And when we endure, and I wouldn't suggest to anybody to punch a block of wood, let alone, okay, I don't think that's very good for your fist. You got to be trained. But with Jesus, Jesus is saying, endurance. You can go through it. You can do this. Say, I'm crying. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I'm sick. I'm worn out. Nobody understands. No one understands me like Jesus, right? That song. So no one gets it, Lord. People, even my own brothers and sisters, misunderstand me. And they talk about me. And I'm bewildered. I am down. I need to be lifted up. Jesus is saying this. Jesus says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. When he has been approved, he will receive a crown of life. In other words, it's our salvation. It means that we were bought through the grace of God by faith through the blood of Christ who did this for us. Talking about crowns, Queen Elizabeth's crown. Well, listen to this. We're going to have a glorious crown. I got that. That's eternal life. That as far, you know, this earth cannot, you cannot even compare it. But Queen Elizabeth's crown has 2,783 diamonds in it. Has 277 pearls, has 18 sapphires, it has 4 emeralds, it has 5 rubies. I mean, a person could live a couple lifetimes off of that crown, you know? If you ever seen, even if you go online, if you go onto some of these rural, my wife and I were able to do that in the Czech Republic, but one of the churches, they had the crown jewels. And I was just like, wow. And the more you saw in the light, more glamorous it looked. And it's like if you've ever been to D.C. with a Hope Diamond. You saw that. It's a big old chunk. But God has something better than that. Something that puts away everything. I was going to say blows away everything else. Yes, it does. That's eternal life. Our crown, our salvation. Nobody can touch that. And what James is saying, you're going to go through these trials because James knew too, the Lord's brother, that persecution was going to come up, and who knows what could happen to us. But we go through persecution in different ways. Different people don't like what we have to say or what we've got on whatever we have. People see the gospel. But you know what? They hated Jesus first. Jesus saying, guess what? If they're going to hate me, they're going to hate you. So all this is going to happen. We have God's blessings. And then what I'm trying to say here is that we have eternal life. And actually, because of time, I won't be able to turn to all these passages because the clock keeps going. But, you know, what should we be rejoicing in? Okay, well, that we're his disciples. You know, we were called by what? Jesus to go out and make multiples of ones like us. In the kingdom of heaven, or build upon that where people have already been saved. And if, you know, I think about Jeremiah. Jeremiah didn't have any converts. His dad was a priest in the temple. Jeremiah was talked to as a teenage boy. And God said, you're going to go out and do big things for me for over 40 years, 40 plus years for me. And he never had one convert, not one. And that's why they call him the weeping prophet. Even after Jerusalem was destroyed, he wrote Lamentations, but he still had God in his life. So what I'm trying to say here, doesn't matter where you're at, God is still using you. And you know what? Stand up and lift. I'm talking about raising holy hands here. I'm saying lift your arms up to God and say, God, here I am. Take me. Use me. What have I got left? You know, this life, you know, for the young ones, keep on building. For the older ones, keep on building. It's not going to be done until we go home. So we are called joint heirs in Romans, joint heirs with Christ. It has the idea of everything out there in space, everything that God has created, will be heirs of that. Isn't that amazing? We don't have to get on the Star Trek show, going to different planets, different worlds where no man's been before. When we get there, everything will be there, will be ours. We are also called to be rejoicing in God's stewardship, what God has given us, no matter how little or how big. Number four, we are temples of the Holy Spirit dwells within us. The Godhead dwells within us. That's something to rejoice in. Also, we were a chosen race. God has chosen us from all different ethnic backgrounds, different colors of skin. You realize that we're all one shade of skin and that we get that color from brown, but we're all different shades of that. Okay. So when they talk about all this that's going on with the woke and, you know, on and on, it doesn't line up with the Bible. You can't, because it's way down here. You can't even compare it with the Bible, because God so loved the world. I mean, meant everybody. And then also we're gifted by God. We don't have time to turn there to 1 Peter chapter 4. But each one of us has gifts, what? To glorify God and keep on using it. And young people, if God ever chooses you and mate down the road, make sure that person puts God first, always first. And don't, you know, jump to any conclusions. Make sure that God's in the picture. And if God doesn't want you to get married, then wait. Okay? You never go wrong. I'm glad I waited. I could have gotten married 6 years ago before I met my wife. And I'm glad I didn't do that. I'm glad I didn't do that. Something just told me, nope. And when I got saved, God told me, yes, that's the one. So, and then, of course, we are last but not least, we are children of God. So, you know, thank God. When we are children, what? We have parents, right? And guess who our parent is? Our Heavenly Father. Okay? And we have the Godhead. Can't go wrong, because God's not going to allow anything to happen to his dear children unless there's a reason. And we have to trust him. Trust him? Trust him. Remember, he's truth. Truth and trust go hand in hand. You cannot go wrong, ever go wrong. So, concluding this, we need to rejoice in who we are, regardless of who we are, rich or poor. We also have the crown of life that nobody can take away through our troubles and triumphs. And do we lack of wisdom and rejoicing who we are? So, prayer is here today that we will continue to follow in his footsteps.